So our approach has really been to start from the bottom up, to identify those people, those women that have the ambition and have the drive, and we foster that through the company.
Hello and welcome to everybody. This is the NZX Opening Bell podcast. My name's James Sharp. I'm one of the senior relationship managers at The Exchange. We are recording this in early March 2024. My guest today is a financial specialist and leader at one of New Zealand's publicly listed companies. Her experience also includes financial roles in the public sector in New Zealand as well as hospitality sector in North America. It is a delight to welcome Chief Financial Officer and Company Secretary of Seeker Limited, Nicola Nielsen. Nicola, a very warm welcome to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. It is always a privilege, of course, to have first-hand conversations on this podcast with leaders of New Zealand's businesses, and we often go into themes around business strategy, outlook, macro and microeconomic factors. Today, however, as well as covering some of those topics, we are, with the conversation with yourself, Nicola, keen to get your perspectives on leadership, on your career journey, and also a key focus of our conversation today will be about themes around gender equality, women in finance, leadership, which I think everyone will agree are critically important topics anyway, but do form part of a set of conversations we're having this month, which we're calling International Women's Month. It is, of course, International Women's Day tomorrow, 8th of March, as we record this. So we will be getting into some of that in detail. Perhaps we could start, though, Nicola, with your career journey to date. So I guess my first question would be, what has been your inspiration, or what was your inspiration in joining the financial sector in the first place?
I think I always had an interest in being in the finance sector. It came relatively naturally to me, and so it was an easy path for me to follow. I really enjoyed that. Accounting was very black and white. The answers were set out in standards. It's debits and credits. It's all very balanced. And it was just very pleasing. I think going into finance and practice, you realise it's not like that at all. So that was a bit of a learning, but that's what drew me to the industry in the first place.
Can I presume then you're natural and very comfortable with numbers? I say that because I'm not as comfortable, and it's not something that I don't think everyone's naturally gifted in. So it's something that you've always been familiar, that it's a world you understand very well.
Yeah. Numbers have always come naturally to me. I had an interest in school and going down the sciences, but they did not come naturally at all. So it was easy, much easier for me to go down that path of maths and finance.
And I guess along the way, in terms of how your career has progressed, I mean, what has been some of the opportunities come up against that have been, you've been able to take advantage of? What have been the challenges?
My journey has been less of a ladder and more of a game of snakes and ladders. So I started out in auditing, which I really enjoyed. Got a lot of opportunities in auditing, and you learn so many different businesses and how they function. But I was always keen to move over to the commercial side. When I went to Vancouver, there weren't a lot of job opportunities for someone wanting to get into commercial with no experience. And I was only on a 12-month visa at the time. So I took a fairly big step back just to get into the inner goings of a commercial business and then rose pretty quickly through there. So I've had some really good opportunities through my career. Switching from hospitality to kiwifruit wasn't too difficult. We talk about the kiwifruit industry being what we do is running a hotel for kiwifruit. So it's some good crossovers there. I've considered myself quite fortunate with the opportunities I've had.
Great to hear that, especially for I'm sure many people listening, thinking about that might be at the start of their career journeys, and that obviously overseas experience, because it does sound like it would have been a huge step. You mentioned kiwifruit, so I think it would be remiss of us not to talk about Seeker. So would you be able to provide just some background into the Seeker business and also critically, again, maybe in a bit more detail, your role as Chief Financial Officer. It's obviously a role that's very familiar to people, but it'd be good to understand what is your kind of day-to-day look like.
Yeah, so Seeker, we're an orchard-to-market business, so we're primarily kiwifruit, but we work with other fruits in the fruit bowl that complement kiwifruit. So we're also doing avocados, kiwi berries, and citrus. We operate in New Zealand and Australia, and we run a retail floor out of Auckland where we're importing tropical fruits, bananas, papayas, pineapples, and selling them into markets and out of Auckland. So it's a fairly diversified company right through the supply chain, but kiwifruit's the big game in town for us.
And when you think about all those fruits, and by the way, I think there's a great kind of map of the seasonality in your annual report in terms of where some of the fruits sit, which I didn't know about. So people could maybe want to check that out. How does that affect how you manage things from a financial perspective? Clearly, a lot of different components moving at the same time. You've obviously got the uncertainty of crops and seasonality. As yourself, when you sit in that seat as a CFO, what are you kind of looking at day to day? Are you kind of reacting, or are you trying to put sort of things in place in terms of assuming things are going to go one way or the other? How do you manage all that?
Yeah, so when I started with Seeker, we were very much busy through the kiwi fruit harvest, and then the business really slowed down through the summer months. The business that we have today is busy all year round. Avocados are ramping up when kiwi fruit's coming off. Australia is running year round. In Australian supermarkets, we have fruit on the shelves every day of the year. So it really is a year round business. It's pretty versatile. Horticulture can throw you all sorts of curveballs, and we've definitely seen that in the last 2 years with the weather events that we've had to deal with. So it is very forward looking, but very much in the moment as to what challenges are coming up and what you're having to deal with.
Yeah, so in that case, I guess I can imagine being an all-year-round role in terms of the intensity, I guess, never lets up, I can imagine. In your time at Seeker, which I think you've been there since 2017, am I right in saying that? I mean, what have been some of your highlights, memorable moments?
Oh, there's been so many. I've been in the CFO role for the last 2 years, and really being in this role is the highlight for me, having got to this point in my career. Which has always been a goal of mine. Over the last couple of years, we've been working on a sustainability linked loan. So that was a real highlight for me, and something I'm quite proud of to get over the line. The sustainability linked loan, you only get it across the line if you can prove that what you're doing is material and meaningful. So that was validation of the work that we're doing. Sustainability actually means something.
Yeah, I can imagine in that business how intrinsically linked it is with sustainability. So a very kind of firm read across, especially in the investor environment we are in at the moment in terms of investor demand. So that's fantastic. And maybe just a last question on that. You talked about your highlight being the CFO role, which I can imagine it is. Was that always something from the outset that you planned on? And I guess I'm looking through the lens of someone listening about maybe not knowing what the end goal or what a kind of long-term goal is. Has that been always a long-term goal? Or was it serendipitous sort of things grew as you went through your career? Or to date, I should say.
I've always been open to opportunities. So I've kind of run with what's been what's on the table at the time, but I've always wanted to be a CFO. Every role I've gone into, I've said that's my long term goal, and particularly coming into Seeker, I put that forward that I want to be the next CFO of Seeker, and I was fortunate that the CFO at the time was looking to retire in the next 5 years, so I had that time to learn from him and get the foundation that I needed to get into this role.
Oh, fantastic. It was a great story, to your career to date. Okay, so maybe now I'd like to pivot slightly. And as you said at the top of the conversation about International Women's Day, and I do want to talk about gender equality and the gender pay gap. Now, just before we get into this, I think it's just a quick reminder. So according to Employment New Zealand, men on average earn 10% more than women, and that's from 2022 in New Zealand. The drivers of this, according to Employment New Zealand, are often things like women being underrepresented in high-level jobs, more likely to be employed in a narrow range of occupations, as well as having work arrangements and carrying responsibilities which limit access to better-paying occupations and positions. And there is some other empirical evidence on that website that I invite anyone to go and take a look, because there is some arguments there that actually the pay gap isn't just because of those factors, it's also due to other unspecified factors as well. So maybe we can get into that. So I guess in that context, maybe an obvious question would be, again, International Women's Day tomorrow, what does it mean to you? What are your overall thoughts and insights in terms of New Zealand, in terms of gender equality and that gender pay gap perhaps?
Yeah, so at Seeker, we released our gender pay gap with our annual report a couple of weeks ago for the first time. So we're sitting at 21%, slightly down from 22% the year before. So the statistics aren't great. I mean, there's no arguing. What I do really like is that the rise in sustainability reporting and gender gap reporting, it is making it very clear what the gap is. And once you start reporting on something, then you can do something about it. It's not an easy task to tackle. And for us at Seeker, what I see really is the lack of women in senior roles. It's at the what we define as general roles, our gap doesn't exist. It is actually on par. But once you get into the senior levels, there just aren't the volume of women available. So our approach has really been to start from the bottom up, to identify those people, those women that have the ambition and have the drive, and we foster that through the company. So we, like many companies, have a long way to go, and you do have to start understanding what is those barriers of getting people into senior roles. But as long as you start and you are talking about it and thinking about it, I think we will see change over time. So in our post-harvest business, we've got 7 regional managers and 2 of those are female, which is pretty rare for the industry. I mean, they're running pack houses, a lot of automation. You know, that sort of environment isn't traditionally led by women. It's the kiwi fruit industry in general has traditionally been very male dominated. But those 2 people, so we've got Michelle Bennett running our biggest site in Te Puke, and we've got Steph Britt running our Northland site up in Kerikeri. Both of them have worked their way through the ranks of the business, been supported, and now we're seeing the results of that, which is really, really pleasing to see.
Well, it's great to hear that Seeker is taking a kind of what sounds to be a very proactive and supportive approach. And so that's fantastic. And I would expect there'll be other businesses kind of approaching things in the same way. I mean, in your career today, do you see that things are, maybe in the context of Seeker, things are going in the right direction? Or are there any other kind of blockers where attitudes need to change or opportunities need to change in your view?
I think definitely it needs to be led from the top. I've felt quite fortunate that the companies I've worked on have had strong male leaders who are willing to understand the benefits of having women come through the ranks. And so given there are it is male dominated at the top, men have to be part of that journey and have to understand what diversity brings to a company. And that's what I have seen and that's what I have experienced. And I think those companies will see the benefits of that sort of drive.
Again, really great to hear. I guess as well, thinking about, you know, some of our listeners might be at the kind of, you know, very start of their careers, and especially our female listeners as well. What advice would you give those individuals, and perhaps advice I could pass on to my daughter one day as well, as she goes into the workforce at some point in the future? What are the things that you've seen that are helpful, or any other advice you would give?
I think it's all about attitude. You've got to put your hand up. You've got to put yourself forward. It's not easy a lot of the time. It is very challenging. For me, when the CFO role came up, I was 6 months pregnant. So it was really a choice for me to put my career first or take the 12 months off, raise my child, and then come back to my career. So in my case, I put my hand up. I put my hat in the ring, and I'm really happy that I did. There were some really challenging times. Like it's not easy, and it's not easy for women who have kids and families, and you know, there's a lot you have to balance. But it all starts from attitude and just getting in there, giving it a go.
Again, great to hear. And yeah, I mean, just in terms of growing families, and you know, I am a dad, and my father and stuff. And I do recognize as well, there seems to be a lot of disparity over maternity leave around the world as well. And you know, I mean, I'd love, for instance, I guess New Zealand to move towards maybe more of a Scandinavian model where there's just so much more time. And I think it sounds to be, and I'm not an expert, but there seems to be much more ingrained support in terms of career and obviously parental leave splitting across both parents and things like that. But it sounds to me like, you know, you've been able to navigate this in Seeker yourself. And so great that you're able to kind of get into the position you want also. I mean, in terms of the future, I mean, is there anything else? You mentioned the leadership. There's a responsibility of kind of leadership across businesses. Are there any other things you think across, you know, more wider society, attitudes need to change in terms of your thoughts on that?
I think we're headed in the right direction. I think about New Zealand as a country. We've got some really strong female leaders in our history, with Helen Clark, Jacinda Ardern, Nicola Willis. It's so great to see and have those female leaders. They're the ones who are showing all women that you can do what you want to do if you focus on it. So I definitely think we're headed in the right direction, but that's not to say there's not a lot we need to do as a country, as the policies we have that support women in the workplace, support men in the workplace or out of the workplace if they want to take on that lead role as well.
Great to hear. And I think your advice would, because hitting home really hard in terms of, attitude and what may change, and also the fact that there's businesses like Seeker that have taken that proactive approach sounds to me like something very, very positive. So, thanks very much for your insights. And it's obviously been great to have this conversation today. Just before we move to close, though, Nicola, we maybe ending on a slightly lighter note with some quick fire round questions that Nicola has not seen at all. So this is completely out of the blue. So let's pick a couple. So what's your favourite TV show or movie, given that it's very important that everyone has a very up-to-date list of things they're going to watch on Netflix and not do anything else with their time?
With a two-year-old at home, I don't get a lot of free time, but Love Actually is my favourite movie. Watch it every year at Christmas time.
Classic. I took my girlfriend at the time to go see that at the cinema. Fantastic. And let's go for maybe your favourite book or podcast.
No Such Thing as a Fish is probably my favourite podcast. Reading the Sun Sisters series at the moment, when I get a chance.
Oh, great. And then maybe we'll just do one more. And maybe, thinking about what we've discussed already today, but what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
What's been quite relevant for me over the last couple of years, my boss tells me you don't get paid to worry. And I fall back on that if I find myself getting too caught up in something. You just need to go back to the facts, think and act.
Oh, that's great. I mean, being objective and I think anyone and everyone could benefit from that advice. So fantastic. So Nicola Nielsen, once again, thank you very much for joining us this morning for the podcast, and speak to you again soon.
Thanks so much for having me.